Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi,
featuring guest author John Platt on the history of the Murdoch family.
Over the course of time, back as far as we can go, did anyone ever try to stand up to their power, get anywhere with it, whether it be an officer of the law, whether it be a reporter, whether it just be, you know, Joe Citizen, who felt that they were being slighted by them?
Yeah, I think Alex's father, Randolph Murdoch, there was an incident where I think there was a kind of a hit and run with one of Murdoch's friends, and the driver wasn't prosecuted, and the father of the victim was very upset and launched a campaign to get Randolph unseated from the solicitor when it came up for election. And there were demonstrations outside the courthouse in front when Randolph was going into trials and things, and people would stand up with placards trying to get him, you know, somebody else elected, but it didn't work. In fact, I mean, he got a little publicity in the Hampton Gazette, but that was about it. And Randolph got in for another term, but that was about all. There wasn't much other opposition to them.
How risky would that have been at that point in time to be one of those people standing up with signs that were anti-Murdaugh in such a small community? Was there repercussions at all of people who, you know, publicly stood up against the reign, if you will, of the Murdaughs?
I'm not really sure, but I'm sure it wouldn't have gone down well in the community because the Murdaughs were so, you know, respected and revered there.
Sure. Let's walk into the area of life where Alec comes about, meaning being born. What was life like for Alec as a child with his siblings and with his parents?
Well, I mean, I think he got on well with his parents, and he was spoiled rotten, I think, from everything from the people I spoke to growing up. He was giving everything he wanted. And being born a Murdoch meant you were special in the community. And you had an almost entitlement, you know, to the name and to what it brought with them. So Alex did okay in schools. I don't think he was a great student or anything. He used his family connections to go to the University of South Carolina and then go on to study law. There were amazing stories of him being a hellraiser when, you know, him and his friends would go to strip clubs. And they would be really drunk. I think they used cocaine and other things. And one time, you know, they went into a strip club and they were barred entry. And it led to a big brawl in the bar at the club. And Alex got into fights and everything. The police were called and he was about to be arrested. And then when the officers realized that this was the solicitor's son, Alex Murdoch, things immediately stopped and everything was dropped. In fact, I think the police officer was even ordered to drive Alex home from Beaufort to Hampton, which was a long way. So they all received special treatment, I think.
What kind of impact do you think that made on Alec at such a young age, especially when he's getting out there in his younger years, doing, you know, dumb things as young people do, but always being able to get away? I mean, even having the police drive you home, that's like the ultimate, like, screw you to the actual police force that you're able to go do that sort of thing. How do you think that impacted him as he began to grow older?
I think he thought he was above the law very much, you know, and invulnerable. He could do anything he wanted and get away with it. And time after time, he was proved right. You know, there was never any repercussions for his bad behavior or anything like that. And, you know, this just carried on. And this is probably what led to, you know, the ultimate downfall of the Murdochs, because Alex really thought he could get away with murder.
Quite literally. When we look back at the forming of Alec that we know today, how much of his personality and his bizarre ways of thinking, extreme narcissistic way of thinking, how much of that goes back to being nurture? You know, this is how his parents operated as well, and how he was treated and the special considerations that were always made for him, right, versus nature. It's just in him. There's something, there's some sort of mental disorder that is there. I mean, or it could very likely probably be a combination of the two. You have someone who probably naturally has some sort of chemical imbalance, and then you treat them and condition them this way, and you get the kind of monster that you do.
Absolutely. I mean, nature and nurture, it's anybody's guess, really. But then when you throw in the addiction to opiates he had over 20 years, that's really, I think, maybe that was the catalyst for bringing everything, you know, that much to craziness, you know? You know, he said at trial, he claimed he was addicted to opiates for over 20 years and taking massive quantities, I mean, thousands of dollars worth a week. Many people I spoke to that knew him in court and knew him personally, they wondered about this, that how he was managing to operate for so many years, prosecuting cases and defending things for his company, PMPED, and be completely out of his head on opiates. One never knows, but that had to contribute quite a lot to what happened, I think.
It does make you wonder about the drugs. And if we go back, like you were talking earlier, there was talk, I mean, maybe it goes beyond talk, you would know this better than I, of the smuggling of marijuana in, of God knows what else, in terms of involvement with the drug culture. How deep does that go? How deep is there another side to the Murdoch? We see them on the surface. We see the attorneys. We see all of that. And of course, we see the bad that Alec got into. But is there a darker side to all of this? I think it's something everyone has wondered for quite some time. Is there a darker drug, and I say this with quotes, like cartel type side to this family that is still very much unknown or very quiet, and how long hasn't been going on, if in fact that exists? Did you find anything that points to that in your research?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I think, you know, when Alex was kind of under some of the indictments for drugs and everything, he was paying his cousin, Eddie Smith, thousands of dollars. I think basically $2 million over 10 years or more to buy him drugs. And he was also charged with not only buying drugs, but dealing drugs and manufacturing drugs. I mean, a lot of these cases haven't come to trial, so it's hard to know exactly any more than that. But I think the prosecutors have a very good idea about how involved in drugs he was and how much more it might have been than just him taking it, but, you know, making money off it. But that's going to come out, I think. But I know his father, Randolph Sr., was very anti-drugs. At least that's what he did. He said in various interviews, and he was very hard on people that committed murder while they were taking drugs. He thought crack was the root of all evil. I mean, I don't know how he would have taken, you know, his son's addiction to opiates, you know, but it's hard to know. I mean, a lot of this is going to come out in, there's like, I think about 120 different charges against Alex. All these numerous trials are going to come out. So I think we're going to learn piece by piece exactly what did happen.
What was the family attitude on alcohol? Because obviously when we look at this, there seems to be a lot of poor decision-making involving liquor. And the kids, Alex's kids, and the family in general, they almost everything we see that was public or in a positive light, quote-unquote, they were all blitzed. You know, every time that we saw them in public partying, was this an overwhelming issue within the family that really wasn't looked at as an issue, but to the outside looking in, one would go, this is a family of raging alcoholics?
Yeah, I mean, I spoke to people that knew Alex's son, Buster, and little Paul. And as they grew up, they were pretty well toddlers, and they were almost encouraged to drink by their parents. There was always like a chill full of beer available, and the parents would like remark on it, and they thought it was kind of entertaining to see their kids drinking. So they were brought up into a background of alcohol, I think, and encouraged. And you see some of the pictures that came out, you know, during the civil trial for the boat crash, where Alex is actually, you know, drinking with Paul, and they're doing various, you know, beer with cans and other things, you know, and games. And Alex is very much a part of that. And I think, you know, Alex's relationship to his sons were more like just friends, you know. It wasn't really a father and son thing.
It really didn't feel like Alec really had the skills to be a father, from what it seems. He very much, you know, a narcissist. He's all about himself. It very much seemed from everything we knew that he was, you know, if it looked fun and he could get his kids drunk, he would do it, whether it's right or wrong.
Right.
And it seemed to make an impact. And seeing as Alec led most of his young adult life doing anything he wanted, it almost seems that seems to translate to his own children, of almost having the same sort of attitude with them and enabling them to have such out of control behavior, at least, you know, specifically on the part of Paul, from what we had seen. You know, Buster's kind of inches way away from all of this a bit, but, you know, certainly they were all part of the same pod. That must have been a very detrimental thing towards the psyche and the upbringing of those children, before Paul died and then Buster trying to make sense of all of this.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they were brought up, they could do anything they wanted. I spoke to people that knew them as kids growing up, and they were, you know, the other parents would keep their kids away from the Murdochs because they had a reputation as being wild and dangerous. You know, they didn't want their kids mixing with them. And Paul and Buster got away with everything, I think, when they were young, and that couldn't have helped. You know, they thought that, like their father, they thought they're entitled and above the law, and look where it got them. I mean, I think with Paul, he was an accident waiting to happen. You know, it's only a matter of time. And obviously with the boat crash that killed Mallory Beach, Paul was like three times over the limit, according to hospital records. And I mean, that was the start of the domino fall that brought down the House of Murdoch, you know.
You're locked into the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member, exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast, dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part, guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social